Our scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 and 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In the month of October, we're going to be talking about what's going on underneath the armor, under armor. And so this is our stewardship campaign through the month of October. And as we talk about it, the first couple weeks, you're not going to hear a whole lot about money. And what I mean by that is we're talking about what it is that we're doing with our head, our heart, our hands, and our feet to really engage, to really get in the game of what God is calling us to do in the community. We're going to be looking at some amazing ministries of ways that people have shown here at Alabaster, deep relationships and deep work that they've been able to do to kind of buy into the game. And as we hear scriptures of the armor of God, we're going to start off with those same verses every week, 10 through 13, and then we're going to hear that kind of tag verse. This week it was verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then next week, we're going to be talking about another piece of the armor. And we're going to be talking about our head today. What does it mean to get our head in the game? And what we mean by that is everything that God has done to help us in this life. That as Christians, as we move through this life, we know that we're going to increase the amount of obstacles that we face. We know that there's going to be times where we feel like we don't have it together at all. And yet, God promises us and shows us that he is constantly with us and gives us this armor to protect us, this daily armor that we put on. But as we're going to hear in just a couple moments, there's something more than what the armor that God gives us. There's something more important that's going on than just what God clothes us in. Because God is really not concerned about the armor. He is concerned about what's under the armor. He's concerned about what's going on in our lives to allow us to take that extra step to engage in a really deep way of what he is truly calling us to do. So it's not always just about the armor, but what's going on underneath it. So long, long time ago, back in the time of the first king of Israel, the nation would be sort of invaded against all number of enemies, and it seemed as if every time that they pushed back one, there'd be another just right behind them. And as Saul, the first king, seemed to perpetually spend his first days as king at war. If it wasn't the Amalekites, it was the Ammonites, or the nation of Edom, or the nation of the Moabites, or the Philistines. And again, it seemed like whatever border he had just secured, another one fell just right behind him. Until the day that finally an invading army came and camped in Judah at Succoth. But this army seemed to engage a little bit differently. And it wasn't the battle line drawn by the army and the clashing of swords and helmets and spears and shields, but rather one champion that came out before his lines and called out to the nation of Israel who would come and fight him. Not nation against nation, but man against man, with the fate of the nations hanging in their balance. He was a large man, a giant man, and I think you all know the story of how big he might have been or at least the impression that he left, of a coat of chainmail that weighed more than any man that he would ever face. A spear and a javelin that were thick like wooden beams of a house. And a massive bronze helmet that sat upon his head. And nobody from Israel would come out to challenge him. Until one day, a small boy, a youth, a shepherd, a musician, who simply was sent from his father one afternoon to go and check on his brothers on the front lines, wandered into this predicament. And as he saw and heard the challenge and the obstacle of this giant, he volunteered to go and to fight him when nobody else would. Now, dismayed, the king Saul did not really have any better idea. And so, as discouraged as he was, he tried to do everything that he could to help out this boy, David, as you know. And on him, he put chainmail, like Goliath had. Maybe a bit smaller, maybe a bit lighter. And he strapped a heavy sword across his back, probably smaller than the one that Goliath had. Maybe just as big as David was himself. And on his head, he placed an oversized and clumsy bronze helmet. Now David, not being very kind of staturely himself, not being a warrior like Goliath had even from the days of his youth, he was clumsy, he couldn't even barely walk under the weight of this armor that was pressing down on him. And so he began to ask for it to be taken off. The sword, the chainmail, the helmet. And he laid them down and walked into battle with the very things that he had with him when he first arrived. And y'all know how the story goes. You know how the story ends. And we find out how very quickly, how it didn't have much to do with the armor at all. That maybe Goliath's helmet just wasn't thick enough. Or maybe he was overconfident in himself. Or the fact that David walked in without any armor at all and yet was still successful tells me that there's something more than just what we clothe ourselves with. And something about our belief and our confidence and what God has called us to do in this life. You see, Goliath, no matter how thick or how heavy or how broad his helmet was, didn't have his head in the game at all. As he underestimated this boy, as he underestimated this moment and mocked it and was sarcastic and cynical, a feeling that he could conquer everything in the world and yet with just a small little river rock, his whole world came crashing down. And yet the helmet that David was given, as he cast it aside, he seemed to be crowned with something much stronger than bronze. A confidence and an assurance that God was with him in a way that he would never be able to articulate on his own. And so why would he not just instead show the world that he was crowned with something so much heavier and so much more lethal than bronze? See, there's something about this life that matters, about how we walk through it. Because the truth of the matter is, God is going to show up to us time and time again. And he is going to give us everything that we need in this life in order to succeed. And he is going to clothe us and equip us with every piece of armor and every tool and every need that we could possibly have to be successful in reaching others in this life. But the real question is, what's going on underneath all that God has already given us? If we don't know why we're in this game, if we don't understand why we come to church or why we try to make a difference in others' lives, then we're sitting on the sidelines. And we're taking everything that God has given us, and we're not even putting it into play. In our scripture reading this morning, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Ephesians. And he writes a letter talking about the struggles that we'll have in this life and the struggles that come with relationships, the struggles that come with relationships in a household, the struggle that comes in relationships and politics. And he tells the church in Ephesus to clothe themselves with the full armor of God each and every day, to prepare themselves for the war, for the battles, for the obstacles, for the struggles that they're going to walk into each and every day. And he goes through each and every one of these parts. Something to protect their head, something to protect their heart, something to protect their hands, their feet. As they walk into something that is more dangerous, that is more discouraging and more difficult than anything we could imagine on our own. So much so that traditional armor will not even do. Because our enemies are not traditional enemies. They are not giants and Philistines that we will face across a sandy battlefield. But it's that darkness that we all struggle with. It's the isolation that pulls us into ourselves and tries to convince us that we should be more concerned about ourselves than with others. Those deeper enemies of fear, of loneliness, of discouragement, of isolation, of hunger and thirst of something more in this life that we've convinced ourselves that we'll never get. And our battles and our wars become something different. And if we become so convinced of avoiding the struggles that God has prepared us for in this life, then we find out that these fancy helmets and these breastplates of righteousness, these belts of truth, and these sandals shod for the gospel of peace don't do any good at all unless we're moving into what God is calling us to do. When we think about what it looks like to get our head in the game, when we look at what it means to really engage and to walk into with nothing more than what we came with, we see what it means to walk in with a helmet of salvation. And this helmet of salvation is not one that many people are going to see or notice right off the bat when they meet you. And it's not even one that's even going to feel like maybe you're wearing it when you're going through a difficult time or a struggle in your life. But it's a quiet confidence. It's an encouragement. And it's the thing that pushes us to admit that we are stronger than what we first seem or believe and able to walk through struggles that at one point in our life could have defeated us and consumed us, and yet now we can stand in confidence and know that God is with us. A marked and a chosen child to do something incredible in this life. God has not clothed you with armor because he loves armor. God has clothed you with armor because he loves you. And he loves the work that you can do in this life. Because some of the work that God is calling us to do requires us to focus on a truly deep level. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been showing videos before and during worship that talk about what it means to seek God, what it means to love others, what it means to live in hope, and different ways that that's been lived out here in this congregation. And one of the things that we realized is there's so much going on in the life of the church and across the outreach of this church that many of us don't even know everything that's going on, let alone have opportunities to join in on it if that's something that we're called to do. And if you've been paying attention to some of those videos, you've heard about ministries that people have done that are incredible and how they've transformed lives. And when I think about what it means to get our head in the game, I think about those volunteers and I think about those heroes that are walking into those situations. Because some of those things you cannot walk into unprepared. You cannot walk into and not be bought in. You can't walk into and just fake it and move through and hope that faith alone gets us through. We have a Kairos team that walks into prisons and sits down with men and women and talks about how God still loves them, how God still has a call on their life, how they still have purpose and worth and a future. And I think you can ask Roger, if you're not bought in and if you're not ready, if you're not focused, then they're going to see that from the very first moment you walk in the door. You've seen videos of our vacation Bible school. How many vacation Bible school teachers and volunteers do we have in here? If you lose focus from those kids for 1 minute, what's going to happen? They're going to rule the church. They're going to run off with it. You're focused and you're ready. And you're not ready just to keep control, but you're ready for opportunities. You're bought in because some of the moments and some of the relationships that we get with people happen in a single moment. A signal and a sign of a word that they say that said that they're looking for something more and deeper in this life. And if we are not bought in, if we are not paying attention, and if we are not focused, and if we don't have the confidence to walk in on that and know that God goes before us, we miss these moments and these opportunities that people share with us that they're hurt, that they're broken, that they're struggling, that they need to see a sign of God's love for them. The volunteers that come, that help out with our Aaron staff ministry, that give of themselves to carve out a space that those families with special needs can come and experience fun and hope, a little bit of rest, of support and encouragement, of knowing that there is a place where they can experience that when outside of that, it becomes so difficult to sometimes know that others walk through this life with them. Through our Sunday school ministries, through our small group ministries, through our service projects to Appalachia, to our missionaries down to Ecuador, to the work that we do sending boxes and Christmas gifts to Bulgaria. We're focused in knowing that this life is more than just about us. But instead, the call that God is asking us to move into this world and to share a story and a life and a mission that is larger than us. This church does incredible work. And if you look around, you see people that are bought in, that are doing incredible work, and I want to be alongside those people, making a difference in this community, making a difference in this world. Because the times that I find myself least effective in this life are the times when I put on this helmet and then I draw back and I just expect it to protect me without ever even getting into the game, without ever even drawing out on the battlefield. Because the truth of the matter is, when David walked out onto that line, there was probably hundreds or thousands of people clothed in perfectly fine armor that would have served them just well, that were too afraid to have walked out before him. And it did nothing to protect them, if even at that point to just make them a target. But we move forward in this life with that quiet confidence that we are not alone and that God is calling us to something greater. This particular Sunday is a unique Sunday that we hit because it's also World Communion Sunday. And across the entire world, churches in Russia and China, churches in the Middle East and Africa, all over the United States and Mexico and Canada, anywhere that you can imagine that the faith of God has reached, there are people that are gathering to share and to break bread and encourage each other and to testify to this faith that there are difficult times to come, but God has prepared us and has equipped us and promised us that he would be with us through them. And so we break bread to realize that we are in this game, and that we are in this life together. And so we have an opportunity here on this first Sunday of our stewardship campaign to commit ourselves of what it looks like for us to engage more in what God is calling us to do. To take one extra step, to take all that God has equipped us with and now to actually put it into play. To answer the questions of why are we here? What do we hope to accomplish in our lives and in this church? That makes it more than about us, but how we can reach out to this community, this nation, and this world to help share with others a relationship and a story that can change lives.